Good morning. It's your girl, Sharifa Hargy. I am here with another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. Happy Monday to you. Thank you for joining me on today's episode. Before we start, go ahead and grab your notepads, or if you're not old school, you use another format. Maybe you take recordings on your phone, whatever it is, note to text, whatever it is, get it ready, because I am sure, just from speaking with our guests backstage, that you will not want to miss this episode. So before I get started with today's show, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. And that is to go out and be an evangelist, be an activist, be a supporter, be someone who lets everyone else know that the Roundtable Talk Show is live. And we are live Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. weekdays. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to do what you brought me here to do, and that is to go ahead and introduce our first guest. I want to introduce Miss Carol Limpert. She is amazing. She was very entertaining. I love her smile, her energy. She is a performance coach, a learning designer, and virtual trainer. She started out as a professional actor, and now she works with leaders to help them have a great stage presence. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
Good morning, Sharif. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on the roundtable. You always have such interesting people. So I'm curious about what our conversation will be today.
You are so welcome. I'm curious as well. But before we start talking about you and your background, one thing that I found very interesting backstage is you were telling us exactly what people are celebrating today, October 12th. What's going on today in the world?
Yes. Well, so it's, I think as many people know, it's Columbus Day if you live in the States, but it's Facebook Live. So people could be tuning in from all over the world. And I actually today am physically in Toronto, Canada, visiting my in-laws, because in Canada, it is Canadian Thanksgiving. And so it's a long weekend in Canada. And so at breakfast this morning, we were chatting about, October 12th. And then it happens also coincidentally to be my cousin's birthday. We're talking about all these things. Here's what I've learned this morning. I went online and Googled what is today. So today is, in addition, Indigenous Peoples Day, which makes sense because Columbus came and took the land. And so we want to honor that it was the land. That's since 1992. It's Native American Day. So the same thing in the state. But apparently it is also Cookbook Launch Day. So anybody out there who's watching that is a cook and is dying to do a cookbook next year on October 12th, you could launch your cookbook. In parallel to that, it is Pulled Pork Day. It's Gumbo Day, it's Old Farmer's Day, and apparently it is also Kick Butt Day, so it's a great day for Sharif. So it's a very busy day.
I love it. Out of everything, I'm gonna take the Kick Butt Day.
That's all right, you gotta kick some butt today.
That's interesting. I think that's very interesting to learn. I always wonder, like, what does it take to become a national holiday, right? I always think about that because my birthday is March the 31st. And here in California, it's also Cesar Chavez Day, you know? So I'm like, maybe one day it'll be Sharifa Hardy Day. I don't know. you know, one can always hope and dream. But you started off, Carol, as a professional actor, correct?
Yes, that's right. That's right. And then, so here's how it all came to be. About 20 some odd years ago, I get a phone call from my brother one day. I'm working as an actor, and when I'm not working as an actor, I'm temping in offices to pay the rent. And my brother says, Carol, get over here. I'm like, okay. So I go over to his house, and he's there with his best friend, his buddy, and his buddy is in the washroom, sick as a dog, throwing up. And I'm like, what are you calling me for? This looks like a 911 situation. But turns out that his buddy, who just graduated college and has his very first big boy job with, you know, he has to wear his executive pants to work day kind of day, he's been tapped on the shoulder to give a presentation to his boss's boss. And he's having a full-on panic attack because he doesn't like public speaking. So he goes to his buddy, my brother, help, I don't know what to do. But my brother doesn't work in business. He's a contractor. He's like, I don't know what to do either. I never give presentations. I know, I'll call my sister. She's an actress, she can help. So I worked with this guy just like I would get ready for an audition. I helped him get ready for his presentation, and I did my brother a favor, and you know, that was that. 2 months later, I get a phone call from a total stranger. Hi, you don't know me. I got your name from the buddy's name is Lance. I got your name from Lance. He's now a high performer at work. Can you do the same thing for me? And at that point, I was temping in offices for $7 an hour. And I thought, ooh, this seems to be a thing. So I took 2 years off my acting career and I went back to school to be certified as an adult educator and a coach. And I've been doing those parallel careers for the last 20 some odd years. So thank you for being curious about that. That's how it happened.
that's how this show happened. That's why I always tell people twofold. It's either because of my curiosity or mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out something with my life or my business. So I use this show as a therapy session to learn all the things I can learn to make me a better person. So yeah. I just want to know, which do you enjoy more, acting or teaching?
So I enjoy them both for the same reasons. There's two different kinds of actors in the world. There are the actors that love the spotlight, like the late Robin Williams, for example. He was that kind of a performer. It's all about him. And we pay money to see those people. They're really talented and they're very entertaining. But then there are the Meryl Streeps and the Glenn Closes of the world. And
I love them.
I'm like that too. What they love to explore is the human condition. And so whether I'm in the rehearsal room figuring out a script that a playwright wrote and how do I play the character in a realistic, meaningful, entertaining way, or I'm working with someone like you or maybe someone like one of our guests or one of my own clients, for me, it's still all about understanding the human condition. So if I have a client that like this guy, Lance, he has to give a presentation. So let's get under what is it you're most nervous about? And let's get under what does your boss expect to hear? And that's all about behavior and all about human condition. And that's what really makes me tick. That's what I'm curious about.
I like learning what makes people tick. One of the things that I enjoy doing is like when I get new interns or new staff, a part of my team, I always give them a homework assignment. I'm like, go watch The Devil Wears Prada and then come back tomorrow. Like, watch that. That's me. I'm The Devil Wears Prada, right?
I'm if I was your intern, I'd be a little scared now that I'm going to have to be like catched in your mink coat every morning as you're walking in your office.
See, that's why they get that spiel on day one. Because if they don't come back on day two, I understand that they couldn't cut it. So it's like I'm trying to scare them out of the building. So when they come back the next day, I'm like, oh, you decided to return.
Okay, very smart homework.
Yes.
But I was just going to say, I'm curious about your other guests too. So I would love to continue chatting, but I'd love to learn more about Laura and Claire and Anitris.
But right now I'm learning about you, Carol.
All right. I'll give me the limelight, honey. I'll take the limelight.
We don't get to everybody. Let me do my thing. That's okay, Carol. You don't want to talk to me no more? I'm going to talk to Claire. I'm going to go ahead and
interview. Looks like I just failed the intern test and I didn't catch the mink coat fast enough.
You did. You caught it and then you dropped it and was like, why am I holding this mink coat? We know who I am.
Exactly.
I'm going to come back to you, Carol.
All right. I'll be here.
Hopefully. I'm trying to introduce our next guest, Claire Ellis. And she also has a very interesting story. That's one of the things I look for in everyone's bio and their information is not just your company, not just your product, not just your service, but have a story that our guests can learn from and are interested about. And so this young lady, this young whippersnapper, because she's ready to take over the world, but we'll see. But prior to 2019, she worked with startups and Fortune 500 companies. She even worked with Sony and Universal Studios before she found her true passion. And usually people go from one aspect to television studios. She went from the television studios to having a passion for creating candles. Let's welcome Claire Ellis of Malibu Apothecary. Good morning, Claire. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining the show. I read your bio. I recognize those Sony, Universal, Fortune 500s, startups. Okay, explain this to me. What happened?
So I had gone to Southern Methodist University in Dallas. And when I went to college, my dad said, you have 4 years, you know, no more. I mean, I knew lots of kids who were doing 5 years, 6 years degrees. And I was fortunate enough that my parents were able to support me. I took some college loans on myself too, but overall, and I said, okay, 4 years, how do I maximize those 4 years? And so I figured that if I was able to graduate early, I could use that money to do my favorite thing that I really wanted to explore, which was travel. I mean, I'd always had a passion for travel and I just really thought that, you know, I mean, once you get your degree, I mean, as long as you've got that stamp, I mean, the classes don't really matter so much, but I kind of wanted to maximize that time. So I did marketing and entrepreneurship. And honestly, I did the entrepreneurship because it was the least amount of credits I could take to graduate with a business degree from the business school. So, I mean, I found it wildly interesting and I loved it. My dad was an entrepreneur, so it was definitely familiar territory, but enough to know the risks of getting into it. I wasn't too naive to think that entrepreneurship is this amazing thing. So I was definitely destined in my mind at the time to go the corporate route. That's what I wanted to do. And so I ended up working for Sony Pictures and Universal, both in marketing and PR roles. And from there, I mean, I remember my first job offer from a studio, and it wasn't that long ago, $32,000. And that's to live in Los Angeles and New York. And so, you know, as those of you who, some of us are on here from LA and New York, know that it's impossible to live any sort of independent life in those cities and work near there. So
I'm here in Long Beach. If you get a nice little tent from the Home Depot, you might be able to survive. But I'm sorry.
Under the 405?
Right. Yeah. Or the 710.
Yeah. It's competitive there though. You know, I see there's not a lot of spots. So you really got to duke it out. But yeah, it was just crazy. So I kind of went the other way. I went to tech. And so I, after working at those two companies, and I worked in partnerships. So we worked and did software sales to these big studios. So our partners were Universal. And so I still was adjacent to that field. And then while I was doing that, I kind of got back into a hobby of candle making that I had grown in college. And when I was in college, I had studied abroad. I ended up traveling. I lived in Nice, France for 7 months. I went solo around Asia for almost 2 months. I went to the Caribbean and Kenya and Dubai and all these places. So one of the things that I had picked up is when I was in Nice, I actually went to this perfumery school. It's actually in Grasse, France. It's a small town outside. And I learned perfumery and I just was enamored with it because it's this marriage of all these different notes and scents, whether it's the top notes, the bottom notes, and you can kind of create a symphony with something that may not be that great. Like one thing that's very common in perfumery is musk. And that is emulating a male musk deer. It's like this secretion that comes out of the, and if you smell it on its own, it does not smell great. But when you marry it with all these other things, it becomes this beautiful fragrance. And I just thought that was really incredible, the creativity and how you can kind of, the ingenuity of putting all these different things together to make something really beautiful. So that's kind of how I started that. And kind of the real answer is, you know, I was buying Jo Malone candles that I was obsessed with that were $85. And I was like, I can't afford this in college, you know? So I kind of wanted to make my own as well. And with that interest in fragrance. And so it's something I had done for years, but really just given as gifts and for friends. And so when I fast forward was working in a more, I guess this is a startup environment, but it was kind of, you know, high intensity working all the time. And it was just kind of a reprieve for me to be able to make candles. And I had discovered actually that these candles that were burning, these Jo Malone candles, Diptyque candles that are $85, are actually really toxic for you. And that's because they use paraffin wax, which is a gasoline byproduct. It comes so in the form.
So you pay $85 for a candle that you can get from the Dollar Tree and it's going to kill you?
Basically, I mean, yeah, you're essentially paying large sums of money to poison yourself in a sense. And that's just with kind of, and you can say this about candles, but it's really about everything that we're consuming and around. And so you may notice it. And that's something that I'm very passionate about now in sharing, because it's not, even if you don't like candles, it's not necessarily just about candles, because it can translate into anything that we do in our life. So you really just need to be mindful and thoughtful of like, what is going into this? Because before I had never thought what goes into making a candle. And so, yeah, it's this black sludge at the bottom of an oil barrel, literally after they extract asphalt, rubbers, plastic, the whole refinement process, it's the last thing left. and they whiten it with bleach that's 10 times stronger than our household bleach. So 10 times stronger than Clorox. And when you burn that, it releases carcinogens that have been known to cause cancer, two of them being toluene and benzene. And so they affect your respiratory system and your neurological system. So instead, now with that hobby combined with this knowledge and wanting to share that with people and just, you know, fueling my passion and affording my hobby, I created my company, Malibu Apothecary. So we create clean candles for a cleaner earth. So our candles are made from, I have one right here, but they're made from coconut wax and soy wax, and they're essential oil infused. And then we give back 20% of our online sales to Coastal Conservation and the Breast Cancer Research Foundation.
I love it. I love it. Claire, you had a question, Carol?
Well, I was just going to say my husband has asthma. So for years, we've known that when candles are burning, it activates his asthma, but I never knew why. So that's really interesting learning what you're saying about what's being released into the air from a typical store-bought candle. So
We have to pick up some of Claire's candles. So Claire, I'm going to come back with you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Laura Garapi. She is the owner of Every Day by the Lake and Before You Go Freelance, and she helps others stay on top of the mind of their target market. Good morning, Laura. How are you?
Morning, Sharifa. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. You are so chatty. You've just been chatting backstage, chatting during the show.
Yeah, I am kind of a quiet type, introverted by nature. So, you know, participating in this kind of thing is pushing me beyond my comfort zone, which I think is a great thing.
Well, thank you for letting me know it's beyond your comfort zone. That means I'll be nice and I won't.
No, push me. It's cool.
Why did you decide to come on the show this morning, Laura?
Because as an entrepreneur, you need to be known. I need to get my face out there. I do a lot of written advertising, you know, through blogging and social media. But recently this year, I started podcasting, both myself and appearing on other people's shows. And I've done a couple of things via video. And so now it's like when I see an opportunity to continue to broaden my reach and push myself, I have to go for it.
I applaud you. So what made you decide that you have to go for it? What was that change like? What happened?
It's just a matter of understanding how the business world is moving. So, you know, people don't often have the time to read something lengthy. So they want to take an audio file on the go, or they want to have a video playing so they can listen to it while they're off doing something else. And so I know that my audience, you know, is in different places. So I need to put out varying types of content so I can meet them where they are.
I like that. So tell us about your podcast.
So it is officially launching on October 19th alongside a brand new website. My email subscribers have gotten a sneak peek, but it will be live to all next Monday, which I'm excited about. It's called In a Freelance Minute, and I'm calling it a micro podcast because it explores freelance topics in 1 to 3 minutes. And so it is a monologue, but if you have a question about a freelancing topic, like how do I get health insurance or how do I attract clients, you can get the gist of the information that you need by listening to a really short, hopefully, in my opinion, engaging and funny audio clip.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I understand you correctly. So on your podcast, how often is it? A daily, weekly, monthly? How often is your podcast?
It's a weekly.
Okay, so every week, once a week, you come on, you give about 3 minutes of wonderful advice, and then you're gone.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's interesting. I like that because people always say talk about our attention spans. And I know I'm one of the worst because if I see a squirrel, I'm gone. So I get the whole 3 minute idea. It's very interesting. People always say make little clips. Why are you so passionate about freelancing?
Because last year it literally saved me. I mean, I essentially went freelance because I needed to be able to work around my life rather than live around my work. You know, in late 2017, I lost a family member, and having 3 days bereavement just wasn't sufficient. So I quit my job in 2018 to start my freelance business. And unfortunately, late last year, my father got incredibly sick and he wound up passing away in December. Thank you. But freelancing really was instrumental in my being able to pack up my stuff. I mean, I live in Florida, my family is in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. tell all my clients, see ya, you know, indefinitely. I don't know like what's gonna happen, my dad's sick. And you know, for the better part of the last 6 weeks of 2019, I did no work. I was able to support my family, bring my father home for hospice care, help my mother arrange his funeral, have sufficient time to grieve. And then when I came home, I thought, you know, in January of 2020, I was going to start working again. I tried to do that for a week or so. I realized I couldn't, like, I was depressed. It was crippling. I just could not get out from underneath my grief. And so I initiated a 3-month sabbatical, and I continued to do no work until April 1st. So a traditional employer, that wouldn't have worked. You know, owning my own business gave me the freedom to show up for my family and for myself when it was most important.
Absolutely, I agree. One of the things that I often talk about is we focus on PTSD with vets, but I believe everybody in the world is suffering from some form of PTSD. And one of the main reasons is exactly what you mentioned, is that whole aspect of 3-day bereavement. Like, you lose the closest people to you, your world changes, life changes, and guess what? You better figure it out in 3 days and be back to work. And so we don't, as a people, have the time to sit down and kind of grieve and process our emotions and what we're going through. Now, however, during this global pandemic, you have more people who have had the opportunity to process a lot of emotions and feelings and things that they've gone through that they've never processed before. So Laura, thank you for sharing that. I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And she is here today with us. I'm so excited to speak to Miss Arnitris Dowdy. She is a poet. She is a writer. She is the author of her own novel, Dream Teenie. Good morning, Arnitris. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you for having me, Sharifa.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining us. I love your dream catcher.
Oh, thank you.
You are so welcome. I love just noticing what I notice, like that little kid's game. Like, I spy with my little eye, like the dream catcher. I like it. Why you decide to join us today, Arnitris?
Well, I'm an author, mm-hmm. and I need to get myself out there. I want to gain more readers, and this would be the perfect platform.
Tell us about your book. What is Dream Teenie?
Okay, so Dream Teenie is actually a drink that you take after a long, stressful day. It's kind of like, you remember the commercial, Calgon, Take Me Away?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's
it's the drink form of a Calgon bath, where you have, it's a shot of tequila, shot of rum, shot of vodka, and a little bit of juice. Mm-hmm. You take that just to forget about your day. And in this book, the character, she drinks one too many of them, and she ends up having a crazy dream.
You can't stop there, Arnitris. Like, we're on the edge of our seat. You're like, yeah, this crazy dream.
I don't want to give too much away.
My business, that's where the sound effect of bum, bum, bum would come in. Cut to commercial, leave them hanging, and we want to see what's next.
Exactly.
I mean, we can't give it all away, but I need something. I need something.
Okay, the main character is 2 weeks away from getting married when her ex-boyfriend returns, and he's trying to convince her to postpone her wedding or to call it off to see mm-hmm. if they still have something. So this 2-week span, they're, you know, secretly seeing each other on the low, and you have to read it in order to find out what happens.
Anitra, I need to drink a dream teeny once here. I'm already like stressed out from hearing her problem. I need a dream teeny.
Exactly. And then there's a part two.
Is there a recipe? Is there a recipe for this dream teeny?
One shot of vodka.
Okay.
One shot of rum, one shot of tequila, and a splash of juice of your choice.
Okay, I might have to check out this dream teeny. What made you decide to write this book?
I originally wanted to publish my poetry, mm-hmm. and I learned that poetry was hard to promote and market since I wasn't, you know, I'm not a Maya Angelou or a Sonia Sanchez. And so,
not yet.
You're right, not yet. Mm-hmm. And so, Dream Teenie was originally a short story. Mm-hmm. So, by, you know, realizing that I won't be able to promote or market my poetry, I went back to the short story to see what I could do. And I ended up making it into 2 novels.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Where can people pick up a copy?
It's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com. Part two, Dream Teenie 2, is available in the iBookstore, Kobo, as well as Amazon and Barnes & Noble's Nook.
I love it. Arnitris, we're going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Dr. Manisha Mittal. She is from Moksha Holistic Center, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about health, diet. She's a rheumatologist as well as a holistic practitioner. Good morning, Dr. Manisha. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Thank you for having me on the show. It's really a pleasure.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate you being here. Why did you decide to come on the Roundtable Talk Show?
So today is actually a very important day. It's World Arthritis Day, October 12th. So it's a wonderful day that we can create more awareness about arthritis and how it affects our life. You know, arthritis can affect the quality of life. Even though people sometimes feel arthritis is not a very significant comorbidity, but people who really have it know that once they are not able to do things that they were so easily able to, like jump out of the bed and go running or play tennis or go golf or doing simple tasks, even holding a coffee cup, when those things get more stiff, you know, in your joints and you think that it takes a while to do that, it starts affecting your quality of life. And it can then cause low moods or depression. So it's something we really want to create more awareness about, definitely, that arthritis does impact people's quality of life.
Yes, it does. Carol, did you know that today
was World Arthritis? I've learned two things today. I've learned about candle wax and why my husband's asthma acts up. And I've learned that there's one additional thing that today is also World Arthritis Day on top of everything else that it is today. So thank you, Dr. Manish, for telling us that.
That's what we do here on the Roundtable Talk Show. We learn a whole lot of new things. Dr. Manisha, why are you so passionate about arthritis?
You know, I've been treating veterans. I've been treating elderly people, even younger people. The ones who's suffering from arthritis, you know, I know how it's impacting them. It's just not limited to the joints. It's actually more than that. Some forms of arthritis, they're more systemic, meaning that they cause inflammation in the body and then affect different organ systems. And it all ties up, you know, it ties up to the whole individual. So I have a huge passion to create more awareness and empower people with education. Because, you know, educating our clients and our patients is empowerment. When they know when to seek care, they can make the best choices for themselves. So it's really important we tell them how arthritis can really affect. Some forms of arthritis like rheumatoid and lupus can go to all your organ system. So it's very important that they seek care and they, you know, seek expertise to know more about what condition they suffer from.
Lupus is a form of arthritis? I didn't know that. How are they connected?
Yes. So, you know, lupus is an autoimmune condition and yes, and even rheumatoid arthritis, for that matter, they're autoimmune diseases. So when we say autoimmune, that means our immune system gets confused. Rather than protecting us from foreign invasion or bacterial infection or any kind of viral infection, it gets confused and thinks like the body is non-self. It's actually foreign and then starts attacking the body. So one favorite place for most autoimmune disorders is joints. They tend to and cause like a fever response. Yes. So there's a lot of inflammation and slowly destruction of the joint starts happening.
Thank you. I didn't know that. That's really interesting.
Did you have anyone in your family who suffered from arthritis?
Yes, I do have, you know, osteoarthritis is one form of arthritis, which is like wear and tear arthritis. We commonly say like, as you use your joints, you're going to get some form of arthritis. So technically, none of us can escape some form of arthritis. It's also related to how much we use them. For example, like repetitive joint use in people, say, who are doing competitive sports, even swimming or tennis or baseball, they're going to use up some of their cartilage and their joints, so getting arthritis more early. So yes, all of us will be getting some form of arthritis over as much, you know, as we use our joints. So it's very important that, you know, we take good care of our joints, you know, we exercise and especially keep our muscles strong. So muscle strengthening is very, very vital to joint health.
Mm-hmm. I applaud you for what you do and the fact that you're a doctor, but what motivated you to create your own holistic center?
You know, it's actually the inspiration I get from my clients and patients. I still remember one of my patients who had osteoarthritis. And osteoarthritis or wear and tear arthritis does not have too many treatment options. So when it comes to treatment, it's mostly like painkillers or medications like ibuprofen or taking something like naproxen or Aleve. So there's not a lot that patients can do. And she had bad arthritis in her hands. And so we talked about using things in your diet. And one of the big things is the spice powder called turmeric or turmeric. It's a great anti-inflammatory. So we started talking about how to use it in cooking, in recipes. And she said, "Doctor, can you do a class for us?" And I, you know, politely took that compliment and said, "Maybe one day." So she would come back for follow-up and I would give her advices on how she could use it. And then one day when she came three times to my office waiting, "Doctor, you need to do the class to educate people." That day I decided and I told my husband, you know, FYI, I'm going to go ahead and do this and start my holistic center where I can educate people. And that was it. And, you know, since then we've just been going. And I just hope that I can spread more education. So we do a lot of workshops where we teach people, give them evidence-based information, what's great for their gut health and how that affects the whole body. So really it's, everything is kind of closely tied to what we eat. So we have to be careful when we make choices about our diet.
Yes, we do. One of the things, I'm going to come back to you, Dr. Manisha. I want to go over to Claire for a minute. One of the things that I saw in common, Claire, is that part of your passion is not just because of the candles, is because you're helping the world and finding alternatives to some of the things we also use. But when you, you know, when you were speaking, one of the things that stood out to me is like, I wanted to know what your father said when you were, you know, going one way. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I want to make candles. What did Dad say?
Well, I had definitely done it as a hobby for years. So everybody in my family and inner circle had definitely received a candle at some point for some gift or birthday. So it wasn't like completely out of the blue. But when I first started it, it was never an intention to do full time, quit my job. And I completely credit that to the people around me who were so supportive. Everybody around me was like, "Wow, you can really do this. You can make this something. I can see you being in retail stores. I can see you." So everybody around me had really kind of pulled me up to that place where I felt that I could do it full time. And I believed in myself because, you know, candles are something that a lot of people have candle companies. It's one of the oldest products out there. So what's going to separate you from the other thousands of people selling on Etsy or at fairs or markets? And so I definitely didn't think that. But about 2-3 months in, actually, one of the board of directors for the big tech firm I was in, and these are like very high powered people who are in the entertainment and technology space. I mean, we'd raised quite a bit of money. And so this is one of the main investors. He actually took me to his office and was like, "I can get investors for you. I think that you should do this full time. You are going to," but like XYZ was just like very supportive. It was a shock to me. I mean, I was like very shocked. So that was one of the first times I thought like, wow, maybe I could do this full time. And I had mentioned it to my dad and he says, I call my dad and I go, "Dad, I want to talk to you about something." And he goes, "Claire, don't quit your day job."
That's not like, I want to know what Dad said.
So
that's why we need Laura.
Exactly. Laura,
yeah. Well, I didn't quit my day job at first. I kept going for about a year and a half before I had done it. So I had done both. I mean, I would go into work because we were in LA, but a lot of our media partners were in New York. So I'd be in the office at 6 a.m. and leave at 7 p.m. And then I would do my job or my business from, you know, 7:15 when I got home till 1 a.m. And sometimes I would wake up at 4 a.m., 3 a.m. And I also had a long distance relationship. So that meant weekends I was leaving out of town and I wasn't able to be maybe present with my business. So it was always constantly, I was just thinking about my business and doing my business. And then it finally got to the point, and I actually did sit down with a few investors, some of whom he had set me up with. He actually passed away in last November.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But you know what? He was there at the right time for you.
Yeah.
He was there to be beneficial to you. I'm sorry to hear that he passed away, because I was going to want to talk to him. I need some investors for Sharifa. Like, I need to have a conversation. Laura, do you see this often? Like, people making this transition?
Yeah, I mean, even before the pandemic, I feel like people were trying to figure out a way where they can make a living and prioritize their life over their work. But now, so with the pandemic and everyone is at home, I feel like there's even more, you know, interest in trying to figure out how they can make money from their laptop and what skills are marketable and how do they actually go about starting that type of venture. So it's increasing in popularity.
People are getting creative.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. What have you done, Anitra, to get creative about getting your book out there?
What have I done? I've been working on this during this pandemic. I've been working on this, my next novel, The Tales of Kayla and KK. But, you know, every now and then I would go on Instagram to promote that. I've looked into doing Audible. This next book will be on Audible. That's pretty much it. I've basically been working on this next book during this pandemic, trying to finish it and get it right to where I want it.
Well, that's good. I like that. Carol, now let me ask you, you work with entrepreneurs, people on their stage presence. You know, Laura mentioned she was someone that had to be kind of pushed. She's pushed out of her comfort zone to be on the show. As far as presence or speaking or getting out of there, what is some advice you can give to our entrepreneurs?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was just thinking about Manisha's work with helping people manage their stress and their diet, and also Claire's work with the candles. Like, they're not only beautiful, there's a form of meditation that you can do looking at a flickering candle, and you just let the image of the candle, the light, kind of fill you up, which really is in alignment with this idea of mindfulness. And how that connects with my work and the work that I work with executives on is presence has four dimensions. So stage presence, executive presence, same four dimensions. And the first one is, the word is presence. So the first piece is being present, being in the moment that's happening, so that when you're spending time with people, they really feel that you're there and you're with them. You're not at your 10 o'clock meeting. You're not thinking ahead to your 2 o'clock meeting, because then you're going to miss something important that's happening at your 10 o'clock meeting. And at your 2 o'clock meeting, you're not beating yourself up for the stupid thing that you think that you said at your 10 o'clock meeting, because then you're going to miss something important that's happening at your 2 o'clock meeting. So, and especially there's so much anxiety. You were talking about post-traumatic stress, and just this whole time of COVID, people are trying to manage the uncertainty of that. And part of anxiety is living too far into the future all the time and not being in the moment that you're in. So that's one piece. The second piece is, what do people see when they look at you? And I don't just mean like, did I do my hair and put lipstick on today? What I'm talking about are the skills of the actor, so that you're able to, like in this world, in this virtual world, in order to be seen as making eye contact with your viewer, you have to look right into the barrel of the camera where my finger is going right now. That's where I'm looking. If I look down at the faces on the screen, then the viewer doesn't have the experience that I'm actually making eye contact with them. So that's a screen presence tip, for example. And we learn that from newscasters. Newscasters know how to have their head in the box and really communicate well. Your facial expression, don't be afraid to make gestures. What's going on with the melody of your voice? So all of these skills of expression that actors use to communicate their emotions and their feelings. The second dimension is, what do people hear when they're in conversation with you? So they have the experience that it's not that you're waiting for their lips to stop moving and now it's your turn to talk, but that you're actually taking in what they say and you're weaving in what they say into your conversation with them. And the tip that I often give for executives on this particular point is that you listen to the vocabulary that the other person uses to communicate their thoughts and ideas. So for example, last week I was doing a workshop with management consultants, and they use big $10 words like, I'll make sure I bring that deliverable and we'll get some alignment and we'll get a good return on investment. So if they're trying to schedule a meeting with a client, for example, and the client says, you know what, I'm not available Tuesday at 2 o'clock, let's do Wednesday at 9. And you go, okay. And then Wednesday at 9, you might want to check in with them because they said they were not available because they had a report to do. But instead of saying, how did it go with that report? They ask, how was your deliverable? But the client didn't say they had a deliverable. The client said they had a report due. So when you listen deeply to the vocabulary that people use to express themselves, and you use those words back to them, you're resonating at the same frequency, and that there's this level of presence, which is the connected part. And the last part is, how do people feel? And I don't mean how do they feel about you, because at work you can do a 360 and get all kinds of data about how people think and feel about you. What I mean about presence is, how do they feel about themselves when they are in your presence? After they've had an interaction with you, do they feel better about themselves, not about you, about themselves, or do they feel worse about themselves? And for managers and leaders who have power over people on their teams, they often don't realize that just because they have power, power amplifies. So anything they say is bigger than if they just said it to their friend. And if you've got your team feeling stupid because you're asking so many questions and it feels like an interrogation, that means that your presence is diminished in their eyes. And then the impact of that for a business is employee engagement scores go down, employee engagement scores go down, employees are not so committed to their work. Many of the reasons that Laura said she left corporate because she wasn't being supported and she found a better way through being an entrepreneur, and maybe Claire too, is a lot because people don't leave jobs, they leave bad managers. So those are all of the pieces.
I like that. That was like, I asked for a small piece and you over deliver. I love when people over deliver, because I wasn't expecting all that, but it was very interesting. I want to go to Dr. Manisha right quick, because you spoke about the lady who said, Dr. Manisha, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. But yet you hesitated before stepping into your power and actually taking this on. Some of the things that Carol mentioned are just, you know, being confident, kind of being present. Did these things help you when you started your class, Dr. Manisha?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I personally meditate before I do my class, because I want to make sure that I'm using the best of myself, you know, giving them the best of education and keeping myself really engaged in that session. So yes, meditation for me works best before starting any class. And then I think everything just flows through. It just, you know, it's a conversation we do, really not a didactic session. So it's more conversing and getting feedback and making it more interactive with different things, you know, like the clients, for example. We started talking about turmeric and how to use it in diet. And then one of my clients mentioned, actually several of them did, that they just sprinkle some on the salad, but it's not very appealing to the taste. So if somebody's ever tried just putting turmeric powder on the salad, it's a little bit bitter. It's not, you know, you really have to cook it to get it used to your taste buds. So then I came up with this idea, maybe I can do something. So I talked to my kids and they said, well, we love ice cream. And so I went that route and created an ice cream version where you put turmeric and spices in it. Then I shared it with my patients and clients, and they absolutely loved it. And they said, we need to go ahead and, you know, do it at a more commercial level. So it really is about listening to what people want. And, you know, one thing is, yes, we know we do our standard medical care, but at the same time, to be honest, to have a more like satisfaction to your soul, that you are really empowering the audience and the people and engaging with them. So it takes you to a huge different level. Then I went over and educated dairy farmers, for example, and dairy farmers got to know more benefits about eating healthy and diet. And then we came up with Golden Ice Spice, my turmeric ice cream. So it's like you said, you know, it's really about being engaging with your audience, what they want, and how you can make it like a successful event, taking everybody together.
Claire, so it sounds like turmeric is like musk, right? In and of itself, not so great. Mix it with other things, you got magic.
Mm-hmm. Where can I get Golden Ice? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Golden Ice Spice is available right now only in Fresno in California, but we are working, hopefully.
I don't think that's fair. I think that you guys are against Long Beach, okay? Because I think we need some of that down here. Claire, tell them, like, they have to get it out there. Claire knows about getting products out there.
Yeah, you gotta come to SoCal.
Yeah, I would love that. I think we would just need to connect with the right distribution and get it over all over the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure yes, someone on the panel, someone tuning in, someone somewhere will be able to help you get it out there. I just love the idea of Golden Ice. healthy ice cream, because that's my thing. I'm an ice cream lover. I talk about before I started the show, I tried to be all healthy. I did a 7-day juice fast. I started drinking plenty of water, exercising, and then COVID hit and I was in McDonald's ordering mocha frappes. I was like, you know what? I needed something to make me feel better. So I have a sweet tooth. So I had to get me some of that golden ice. Laura, you're over there chatty Kathy.
Hey, I'm just absorbing all of it. You know, I'm taking it in.
I'm giving you a hard time.
See, I appreciate that. You kind of pushed me a little bit. You know, one thing I noted when Carol was talking about how to have presence that resonated with me is that using the words that your recipient uses. I mean, I think that's key in any kind of marketing that you do. You know, when I'm trying to sell my coaching services or when I'm trying to write a blog post to help someone that's thinking about going freelance, I want to use the terms that they use. I want to make an emotional connection. I want them to understand what I'm saying. I want them to see themselves in the content that I'm putting out there, because that's when you have buy-in. If they don't understand the terminology you're using, if they don't see a reflection of themselves and what you're putting out there, you've lost them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. And from a writing perspective, I think that's the same as from a speaking perspective.
Yeah, 100%.
Would you agree, Anitras?
Yes, I would. That's why with the poetry, I connect with a lot of people through the poetry. You know, I might feel a certain way, somebody else might feel that same way, but they aren't confident enough to share that emotion. But when they see somebody else share that same emotion, you connect in a way where you can say, well, how did you get through that heartbreak? Or how did you get through that death? You know, this is what I did. This is how I dealt with it. So it's, and the poetry to me is another way to communicate with my readers. So yeah.
Is there a short poem we can share?
A short poem?
Mm-hmm. I love poetry, but you know, sometimes you ask poets to read you some poetry and it's like this long novella. And I'm like, I only got a couple minutes left of the show. So I was trying to hear a little something.
Short. Do I have anything short?
Just a taste of something long then. How about that? Can we compromise?
Give me a second.
Okay, I'm gonna go over here.
I'll buy you some time, Anitras. I did as an actress, I did a show many years ago about the life of the writer Dorothy Parker. So here is a very short verse from Dorothy Parker. I'll do this to buy you some time. You look up your poem and I'll buy you some time so that we'll toss it back over to you. So here it is. This kind of gets the dream teeny thing in there too. I like to have a martini, two at the very most. After three, I'm under the table. After four, I'm under my host.
It's bad. This is morning talk. I don't know if we get to have those kind of things on this show, but that was kind of interesting. What do you think about that, Claire?
I loved it. I'm just like really excited to hear Arnitris's poem. But I just love how you were saying too, kind of backstage, how everything kind of interconnects and talks and how organically the conversation goes. And I think just with all of these ladies here, everything that each one of them has said has resonated with at least me in some way. And so I'm sure with your viewers as well, but it's really interesting to hear different perspectives. And right now we're all going through the same exact thing. It's a global pandemic and it's something really terrible that's happening, but it just happens to be everyone's experiencing it versus, I mean, there's always going to be things that are wrong wherever you are or things that happen to you, but now this is happening to everyone and seeing how people have been creative and pivoted during this time. And I'm really glad that Laura was able to now during this time to have her freelance business. And I think a lot of people are being empowered to, you know, maybe it's just because I'm in the entrepreneur lens now and I wasn't as focused with it, but I feel like there are a lot of people who are actually kind of coming into their own and finding what their passion is and kind of taking a step back. And now that their work has become their home and their home is their work, they're saying like, what is important to me? What am I passionate about? Whether it's writing or, you know, Manisha had talked about how she was able to listen to her customers and pivot as well. And so it's just really interesting too.
It is. That's why I love doing the show, because no matter what, I always see some kind of theme. And then somebody's like, you know what? Me too. One of the most one of the episodes I was most nervous about, because I had this lady, and I don't judge people, but I tend to be attracted more to creative and entrepreneurs. But when people are real corporate, I'm like, oh my God, they may not fit well in this whole organic kind of environment, right? So I was like, I didn't know how this lady was going to respond. And plus, I had another lady on the show who suffered from mental illness. And so the lady was kind of all over the place. And I was like, I didn't know how the other person was going to respond. And then the corporate lady all of a sudden said, you know, I understand it's hard for families going through it. My cousin suffers from mental illness. And so all of a sudden they were BFFs. And I'm like, this is cool. Like, this really is a cool environment, because you never know, you know, who's going through what. I like that, Claire. Now, Anitris, we've been stalling for about 2 minutes. Claire, Carol, we've been stalled you through this time. So what do you have?
Okay. This one is called If. Uh-huh. If I couldn't love you now, would you hate me later? If today never comes, would you still show me a brighter tomorrow? If I never say hello, would you ever say goodbye?
That's
quick.
Wow.
That was good. You're showing us your book, your poetry book?
Yeah, one of my poetry books.
I love that. That was great. Does anybody else do poetry? We got one from Carol. We got something from our teachers. Now I'm like, somebody sing, tap dance. What else we going to do on America's Got Talent? I'm just giving you ladies a hard time. Now, however, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Dr. Manisha.
Okay, thank you, Sharifa. So for all your audience, I just want to share, I am a rheumatologist and I treat arthritis and autoimmune disease. So I want to create some awareness that please focus on your diet, on your mental health and spiritual health, because all of that is connected to how you feel. And never, never give up a chance of believing in yourself. You are the superpower. You have all the intelligence to fix and to balance your physiology. You just have to enliven that connection. So make sure you have ample time for yourself. You're doing a lot of self-care, taking care of yourself, you know, stepping back and thinking and redirecting yourself. So rejuvenate yourself with strong feeling that yes, you can do even better. So remember, you know, mental, spiritual health, as well as physical health, everything goes hand in hand. And you can always reach me at mokshaholisticcenter.com or giroom.com. My husband's a gastroenterologist and we have a joint practice with a focus on gut and immune health. Also, I would love to be back, Sharifa, with you to talk about my upcoming book for next year. It talks about how we can enliven the inner energy within us to heal. It's all about connecting your physical, mental, and spiritual health. You know, modern medicine is talking about mind-body medicine. We're hearing that so much, and that is all wonderful. But I want to take my audience a step further, connecting to your soul. So it's mind-body soul or mind-body consciousness, as we say. If you make that connection, you enliven that, you can heal a lot. And, you know, medicine is not just about disease treatment. We want to look ahead. We want to broaden the lens and look at healing. Medicine should be more about healing. So thank you, Sharifa, for having me, and I hope your viewers have a wonderful morning today.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining us, and I would love for you to come back. I would love for all of our guests to come back. If you tune into the show, you'll see that some of the guests are here 8 and 9 times. We have regular guests. Allison Almond's usually here every Monday. She wasn't feeling well today, so I'm sending a lot of love, light, and just peace to Allison today. Jade Elizabeth is here with us every other Friday, so feel free to come back. I always tell our guests, if you want to come back, please go to the website today at asksharifa.com and schedule your appearance, because we are currently booked out through December 14th. So you don't want to wait until the end of December to be a guest on the show, because you might have to wait until May. So thank you, Dr. Manisha. Claire, what do you have for us?
Wow, that's hard to follow up, but I mean, I guess I would say that, you know, we kind of talked a lot about how I had pivoted and had careers before in the past, and kind of mentioned previously how now is the time to do it. And if you're somebody who wants to start a business, I mean, mine, Candle's Oldest Time, you know, start it. And the secret to starting is, or secret to success is really starting. I think Mark Twain said that. But yeah, it's really interesting to see how people pivot and grow. And specifically what I want people to take away from this is that connection is so important. And I think that was one of the themes we talked about, is connecting with people, whether it's through their eyes or through a show like this, or Laura had mentioned through her blog, or connecting to your audience. Is how are you going to not just, you know, connect with others and connect with yourself, but, you know, like Dr. Manisha had mentioned too, connect with your mind and your body and your soul. And so I had mentioned at the beginning, you know, it's not just about candles for me. Wellness is something that is permeates through our whole life. And how are you going to live a more well-intentioned life and be more thoughtful about the products that you surround yourself with? Now, our candles are clean coconut candle, wax candles. And so you can get those, and that's great. But what are the other things you're kind of surrounding yourself with that you may not know? And so that's something I kind of want to leave with the audience, is just kind of maybe not necessarily question. I mean, yeah, you should question everything, but just be more thoughtful as well about what you put out into the world, whether it's your energy and also what you're consuming. And so if you do want to get clean coconut wax candles, you can go to MalibuApothecary.com or follow us on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook at Malibu Apothecary.
Thank you, Claire. Arnitris, what do you have for us?
I've been at this writing thing for 20 years. So it's been a journey, and I share that journey with my readers and people that follow me on Instagram. If you want to read something emotional, you want to go on a roller coaster ride, follow me at Doughty Writes, doughtywrites.com as well. That's about it.
I have to find out what happened, because I'm like, did she marry him? Did she marry the other guy? Did she not marry anybody? Like, you know what? It's a third guy that comes in. Ooh, I like that. That's a plot twist. We'll see what happens. Laura, what do you have for us?
Well, thank you again for having me. I've thoroughly enjoyed the conversation and seeing how all of our paths and journeys intertwine, and how we might be able to help one another. And kind of following up on what Claire said about just getting started, that really resonates with me, because there are so many people out there that could go freelance, that could start a business, that are just too scared to make the leap. I know self-employment, entrepreneurship is not for everyone, you know, and if you're happy in your 9-to-5, that's fine. I don't judge. But if you are, you know, having even the slightest inkling that you need to make a change, just take a couple of steps to see what's possible for you. You can build it on the side like Claire did. You don't have to go all in and risk everything, but you at least owe it to yourself to give it a shot. And one thing that I think can really help is mentorship, is coaching, is connecting with those that have walked the path that you're about to embark on, having their expertise, allowing them to show you the pitfalls, the ropes, is invaluable. I credit a lot of my success to linking up with the right people. And that's what I hope to be for other people that are aspiring to go freelance. And if you'd like to learn more about my services, you can hit me up at everydaybythelake.com. Or as I mentioned earlier in the show, I have a brand new website dropping a week from today, beforeyougofreelance.com, and it will be blog posts, podcasts, coaching, online courses, you know, and ultimately a community that you can join for resources to help you become self-employed.
I like it. So do you spend every day by the lake?
I do. I actually have a house on a lake in Florida.
I kind of got that feeling by the name. I like that. I have to give me a house on the lake. Carol, what do you think of the show?
Thank you. Well, I've just enjoyed the conversation with so many remarkable, smart, open-hearted women. It's been amazing. If your viewers are feeling stuck in their careers or feeling like it is their personal brand or their executive presence that is holding them back, what I will encourage you to do right now is grab a pen and a piece of paper And I do one-on-one executive coaching with people. And it's www.carollempert.com. And the spelling is C-A-R-O-L-L-E-M like lemon, P like Peter, E-R-T.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Carol Lempert. You can link with me on LinkedIn. A lot of my clients are business folks, so they probably are on that platform a lot. Again, Carol Lempert. I have a Facebook page as well, Carol Lempert Speaking. And if you are a leader of an organization and you have a team that you think, wow, I would love to get my team to increase their executive presence because it would help us execute on our deliverables in a more meaningful kind of way, I work with groups as well. And I've been doing virtual sessions since April for groups of about 10 to 20 people each. So thank you for the ability to just get that out there in the world and the work that you're doing, Sharif, these brilliant people that you're bringing together week by week by week. I've really been enjoying watching. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a guest. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it from the archives. We definitely appreciate your support. We appreciate you for watching the show, for sharing the show. But please don't just watch and share the show. Support our guests. Visit their websites. Find out what happens in this story dream teeny. Let me know. Is that cheating on teachers? I don't know. But I'm just saying, when you find out, pick up a copy of your book. And if you are interested in being a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until Tuesday, until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.